Saturday, January 13th. President had me over this morning for, I guess, 3 or 4 hours going through a lot of miscellaneous things. Got into the media relation question, said that I should talk to Price about his view as to what we did wrong 3 years ago regarding the media. He disagrees with the president that they're all liberals, and that the worst thing that could happen to them is to be proved wrong. He says that the thing they hate most is being proved out of fashion, that is the peer group thing. They don't want to be out for 4 years, which is of course Kissinger's theory too. President feels this may be partially right. They're whores, and so some of them can be had, and that maybe we should try to do something with them. With that thought in mind, he wants to be sure we follow up with Timmish on being the president watcher, wants to push the Marge Byers deal for Julie, then wanted me to have a talk with Klein on his role. The president's been doing a lot of thinking that Colson will be the outside man for labor and ethnics, Dent for the outside man with Southerners, Kendall the outside man with business, and that Klein should be the president's man outside for media and so forth. He needs to get more stroke in the television field in order to do this, but we'd put him on as a consultant to the president on media and on how to build a new establishment within the media. He went through a whole bunch of miscellaneous personal items. He wanted to be sure the writers get the point about what he said to the Chinese acrobats yesterday, as contrasted to what they sent in for him to say. Wants to use Greg Petersmeyer as a second aide and have him record everything. Also work with Julie on the Young. Wants to be sure Sinatra and Sammy Davis know that the president wants an evening at the White House for each of them. Is interested in Connally's point on color and also Moynihan's, that the country doesn't see the real Nixon and that maybe Greg can help on that. Wants Ryland to do him a couple times this week and next if he's back. Wants to be sure Rose is making notes on all the personal things. And also the BB's dictating tapes on the personal vignettes on the president, what happens in Walker's K and all that for the president's tape record. Wants to be sure we have a superb executive director for the bicentennial that has lots of imagination. Wants to get in the 75 Democratic congressmen and 11 senators who stood with us for on Vietnam for a cocktail to express his appreciation for standing with us in this difficult period. Wanted to read a copy of Fairley's book on Kennedy and the Rossiter book on the presidency, which I sent over to him later. Wanted to check out burial opportunities at Yorba Linda as well as Rose Hills. I don't know where that came in from left field. I had a report this afternoon from Dean on the Watergate. Apparently there's going to be a Hearst story in the New York Times saying that the Cubans told him they're all still on salary, that there's a $900,000 fund at the reelection committee for them, that they dropped bugs all over town, that the chain of command went from Barker to Hunt to Liddy to Colson to Mitchell. Shumway and Colson and Mitchell have all given flat denials on this. The Cubans have sent a letter to dismiss Rossblatt, and he was dismissed because they want to plead guilty. McCord is off the reservation now. He had a meeting last night. He thinks he can get him back on, but he has a plan regarding calls he made in September and October. He thinks he can get a tainted evidence thing on it because the calls were bugged by the government. He's playing a blackmail game where if I fall, all fall, but he has no hard evidence. That won't be settled for a while, but Dean thinks he can settle it. Apparently McCord was distressed at the judge's severity. The Cubans will plead on Monday. The main thing today was, of course, Vietnam. The president said he wanted to see Kissinger alone first when he gets back tonight, and that his chopper should be brought directly to the president's pad, and the president will see him if he's awake, and we'll pound into him, and then Haig and I are to follow up that he must not talk to the press, that we've got to do all possible to be sure that people think that nothing's happened in Paris. And in other words, that we need to mislead them. He talked to Ziegler about not a deal with the press, said that the speculation has led to universal optimism and pessimism both, and for your guidance I would not speculate. Kissinger wants to leave it totally open that both sides agreed there'd be no comment during the course of the negotiations, and that's all we can say. President's concerned with Kissinger tomorrow and with Ziegler, that we have to have a plan on the PR side that we can ride with through the week, and so that we can control Kissinger. We have to get our enemies out on a limb. We should go ahead now on an attack on sabotaging the peace, hit the past and the rugged time the President's been through, but that's all. We should be set up for a significant assault if we succeed. We must continue to fight against the old establishment. We should use Scali. Let him and Colson go a little bit, otherwise the attack won't get done. And I should call Colson tomorrow and tell him, but tell him he can't inform anyone. Then when Henry goes to Hanoi, he's got to have our pressman and photographer with him to handle the press. So we need game plans with a line to handle this week with the Congress, with Rogers and Laird, and with the press. We should use Ziegler, Scali, Colson this week and next on all of this. There's a critical decision, for example, on how to brief the leaders on the 23rd. He doesn't want a big meeting with Moss because of his going out and screwing us before. Also, he doesn't want Fulbright, so he's going to limit it to the big five. He doesn't want to argue with Fulbright and so on. Then he said maybe we have to have the big five plus the chairman and just take Fulbright and let Kissinger take the questions. Roger and Laird shouldn't be pampered on this whole thing, that they've got to be straight-armed and do what they're told. You'll have the cabinet in and give them a five-minute briefing, and then the leaders, then move the leadership meetings that are scheduled to Wednesday. And then you got into juggling that schedule around and really didn't end up with anything. The decision firmly, though, is that he wants Kissinger to do his press briefing the second day, not before the President's announcement, as he usually does. Problem is how we keep the leaders in the meeting at 8 o'clock before the President goes on TV. Well, we could say we have an understanding with the Vietnamese that it's not announced until 9 o'clock. Then there's a question of a plan if 2 doesn't go along, which we need to work out. He then had Ziegler in and made the point that all the calls and consultations should be Monday morning, saying that we've suspended all military action above the DMZ, and this will remain in force so long as the negotiations show progress. There should be no discussion of the substance of the negotiations and no characterization. He agreed to do a picture with Henry on Sunday morning. Told me to wire Henry to tell him to ignore the press when he gets off the plane tonight. Don't wave, don't smile, because we have to maintain the proper mood here. Also, Haig should wear his uniform. He's worried about Rogers, says I've got to tell him he should not come down. We don't want to build expectations. And that he has to take the Ziegler line regarding consultation with Congress. With Colson and Scali, he wants to lay the foundation that the critics are screwing things up. Ziegler should say this is totally irresponsible. It can only have the effect of endangering the negotiations and prolonging the war. He called me this evening and made the point again that I have to straight-arm Rogers, that there's nothing more to say except that we made progress. We have to be ruthless and, if necessary, absolutely brutal with him. There is nothing to be said beyond what Ziegler says. Kissinger must not go back Monday. He must at least stay here till Tuesday. Q has to go along. The President will ask Congress himself for no funds rather than let Congress chop him. It's better for the President to take the lead on this if it's going to be inevitable anyway. The operators are to be instructed there are no calls at all to be put through the President except the immediate family. They're all to come through me. End of January 13th.